Mary. Say thank you, Mary. Appreciate that very much. Well, good morning. How many of you, when you left the house, hoped that you could make it here? You know, when you think about it. Hope is the essence of life. It really is. Now abides faith, hope, and love. And we know the love is the greatest, but the hope is the anchor. The Bible makes it clear that hope is the anchor to the soul. And our hope is in God. And you and I are now looking at this season of the year and all the festivities that people are all wrapped up in and excited about. And probably Christmas is one of the most happiest times of the year for a multitude of people. It really is. Even those who don't believe in Christ, don't believe in His birth, don't believe anything about Christianity, still, to them, this is a very joyful time, a happy time, a family time, a get-together time, many other things that they may look at it from different perspectives. But I think a lot of it is because of anything, this is a season for giving. People, basically, in this time of the year, just seem to have a context, a concept of wanting to give and buy gifts and to share with one another and that aspect, and there's no question about it. While there is a disturbing element, if you will, in the commercial world from November through December, we also have a heartwarming spirit of generosity. More money is given to missions and to Goodwill, Salvation Army, all these. It is amazing how much money is given through this process of this season and this time of the year. Any many of the movies, what do they emphasize? If they don't emphasize, if you see it, they emphasize giving and the aspects of giving many, many times in that. In fact, in the Bible, from Luke 2 and following, there's a long history of giving. The whole aspect is giving, if you look at it from that perspective, because first of all, there is this little gal named Mary. And she gave herself to God and to the purpose of God, which He called her to. And even in Luke 2 says that she is a bondservant of God. Now, if you understood the time in which Mary offered herself to God as a bondservant for God's purpose, she was prepared to give up her reputation. She was prepared, if you will, to give up every aspect and to risk being called an adulteress, being risked to be separated from her family and from everyone. I mean, she even knew that there could be the possibility of someone and having the right to take her life. She knew that, but she still was willing to give her body, this little young virgin, to the purpose of God. She gave herself. She did. Surrendered to God's will, even knowing all the circumstances that truly may come upon her. Secondly, of course, we find Caesar Augustus giving something. He gave a decree. He sent out a decree of all the Roman world that they were to go back to the city of where they were born and pay their taxes. Now, I believe that was directed under the providence of God, and that God indeed caused Caesar Augustus to make that decree so Joseph and Mary would have to go back to where Joseph was born, to this little city called Bethlehem. Now, in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, the prophet, 500 years earlier, had prophesied that out of her, this little city, would come the Messiah, the promised one. So, I mean, you think about it, the decree brought about God's fulfillment of promise, and Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Then there was also the innkeeper. I know we can look at him in a negative way. The truth is, he had no room. There was no room in the inn, but he still had a stable. And he gave that to Joseph and Mary, if you will. It was shelter. It was shelter where little baby Jesus could be born. And she took her little child and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. In circus, a little comic, okay? the little gal is wrapping up her doll, and her little brother is sitting there. She said, you know, Jesus was wrapped up in swaddling clothes, and he is the first Christmas gift that was wrapped, if you will. Point is that that is it. You think forth, I think of Luke and the whole context, and you have the angels coming. What do they give? Well, they gave a song. They gave music. They sang, announcing, if you will, make no mistake about it, they announced the Messiah's birth. And the shepherds gave personal attention to what they had heard. And in that message and in that declare of praise, they said, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And so the angels gave the first announcement of Jesus being born to shepherds. And later, of course, magi's in the east, these men being rich, famous, powerful, probably astronomers, they saw the star. And they gave, as you know, gifts. Frankincense, myrrh, etc. But they gave, okay? They gave. And of course, who's going to not look at God, the great giver, because he gave his son? He's the one that sent him down here. Gave him the purpose for which to come. So God so loved the world, he gave. He gave. Christmas is about giving. Mary gave. Angels gave. Shepherds gave. Everybody. It's all about giving. The whole aspect of God's eternal will is that it is about giving. And so at this Christmas season, I'm talking about God's gifts to us. Last week, we looked at grace. That God's gift of love under your Christmas tree this year was the fact that he gave you the gift of grace, and by that grace you're saved. The second gift he gives you this Christmas season out of the gift of his love is hope. Peter says it's a living hope. It's a living hope. It's not a dead hope. It is a living hope. And God's gift this morning to you and me, because the world has no hope. Paul said to the church in Ephesus, and he says, you at one time were alienated. You were separated from the commonwealth of Israel. You were without hope in this world. Is there anything worse than being hopeless and having no hope? Think about it. What happens when people are hopeless? Well, they give up. They quit. No purpose anymore. Every aspect about them, as far as that is concerned, can be seen not only in their facial attitude, their life, every aspect. That hope is the most important ingredient that you and I have to live by. It's a gift that God gives, and he's the only one that can give it to you. Your government can't give it to you. I don't care how powerful he may seem to be, he can't give hope. Hope is from God. The Bible says, Isaiah prophesied, and in his name, the Gentiles will hope. Your hope is in God, period. Your hope is in God. In Romans 15, 12 and following, Paul stated also, Romans 15, verse 12 and following, in him shall the Gentiles hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hope. 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 Hope is in God. Hope is from God. Hope is that anchor. Hope is alive. It's a thrilling aspect of life. In fact, here he talks about you will be filled with joy. Peter says this joy is a result of hope, is inexpressible, and it is full of glory. What is this hope that brings what? Joy. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. That's our hope. It really is. John 8, 12, Jesus speaking says these words, John 8 and 12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The light of life. You see, Christ's birthday will be celebrated all over the world. It is being celebrated. It's being celebrated in all different nations and languages and you name it, okay? And for a few hours, maybe just for a few hours, many people will stop talking about satellites and about rockets and wars and ISIS and whatever. Just maybe, for a few moments, people will talk about the Prince of Peace. Maybe. Just for a moment. For a few hours. They will see and maybe recognize the fact that this great gift of God's love is what really gives hope to this world and to us as individuals. Imagine Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. Just think about it. Because there was a night of nights. There's never been, nor will there ever be a night like it. What happened and what took place in that little city. Because in that night, darkness was conquered. Now, if you were God, how would you approach man's heart? If you were going to appeal to man and offer man something as a gift of hope, how would you appeal? How would you magnetically attract them? How would you attract their hearts? How would you try to make them be drawn? What would you do? I'll tell you what he did. He gave a baby. I mean, you can be in a bus and everybody talking, blah, 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 carrying on, whatever. And I mean, you know, whatever the conversation might be and whatever. And you have some little young lady walk in with a baby into that bus. And the whole countenance of the bus changes. Oh, look at that little cute little baby. I mean, come on. And everybody just starts looking and focusing on a baby. God knew. The wisdom of God is seen in how he approached us. He came in the person of Jesus as a baby. And if that doesn't touch your heart, nothing will. I'm serious. If that doesn't get you, that doesn't reach you, you're hopeless. You don't even know what it's about. It was a night of nights where the light of the world, the creator of the universe, humbled himself, came down and became nothing more than a little baby. Wrapped his life up and put his whole life in the arms of this little virgin young girl. And furnished him the nourishment and what he needed to grow by. He emptied himself. He took on himself a form of a man. And he brought to the reality in that day what you and I live by. I live by hope. My hope is in God. I don't worry about tomorrow. I don't worry about anything because I believe that Jesus Christ gave me hope to face another day and that he is with me. That was the night when there was living in the darkness of this world. A bright light has shone and is still shining today. And nobody will put it out. I don't care how many people disbelieve. That light is shining today. It's shining. It's permeating the world. And that was the night that the one who is the light of the world again was born in this little city of Bethlehem. And that was the night that God gave you the greatest gift that he could give you. Hope. Hope. Hope in God. Hope in what he's done for you. Hope for who he is. Colossians 2:9 says, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. Colossians 2, all the fullness of the Godhead. On that first Christmas night in Bethlehem, God, Emmanuel, was with us. That's what it says. Okay? 1 Timothy 3:16 and following Timothy, Paul gives Timothy an overview of simple little overview, an outline. Just listen to what it said. 1 Timothy 3:16. By common confession that I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. By common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh was vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nation, believed in and the world, taken up into glory. That's all. That's his life. That's the whole little bit of outline of Jesus' life. He came. And I mean, think about it. And this one was wrapped up in a babe in a manger. I can remember when I was 17 years of age and this hit me. I mean, again, I just knew. I can remember going down into a locker room. I was reading my little Gideon Bible all the time. I probably had read it by that time at least 17 times all the way through the whole New Testament. And I remember I was struggling. I remember my dad and how he just that day, and I saw what he did to my mom. I mean, and I went down to the locker room. Nobody was down there. I don't remember why. But I went down and I opened up my locker room. And I stopped. I dropped my books. And I said, I believe Jesus. I believe in you, Jesus. I believe in you because you came like a little baby to me. I love babies. I just really love babies. I've always loved babies. Now, maybe I don't know how God appealed to you, but that hit me as strong as a brick side of my head, that Jesus Christ was a baby, came, but he was God. And I just, at that point, I fell in love with that baby. I fell in love with him. And I'm still in love with him. Have I grown up in him? Has he become more than a baby to me? Why, of course he has. You bet he has. But just think about it. How incredible is that? How incredible is it that Jesus, the Son of God, through whom all things was created, and by him, God created everything, he emptied himself. Jesus left and emptied himself of all his ego. No identity, nothing. He is nothing. And he came down here and took on himself the form of man in a baby form and began to grow. And he grew in stature and favor with God and man. Man, that verse became alive to me. Jesus grew. Jesus grew. And it was at that point, at my 17 years, I started getting all A's in school. I started becoming a whole different young man. I began to look at the world differently because it was at that moment that I recognized that if Jesus was indeed my Savior, I could grow up to, and I did. I don't know what it means to you, but I tell you, I know a lot of teenage boys and a lot of teenage girls that need to fall in love with Jesus. They need to fall in love with this baby and have him grow up inside of them and change their lives. And change their lives. Because I got to believe there's a lot of young people out there that go through and probably a lot worse than what I went through as a young boy. But I stand here today in front of you because of a baby that was born in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago. And he has given me hope. And that hope has become my anchor. That is the whole element. That the psalmist said, hope in God. And to know God, taking a long look at him through Jesus' eyes, I can see God in every aspect of who he is. I see all the gifts that he's given me over my years. I believe God has given me a gift of wisdom. I believe he's given me a gift of power. I believe he's given me a gift of majesty and mercy and grace and love. I believe all those gifts are my gifts, and I found them under this great, if you will, beautiful Christmas tree, all wrapped up in swaddling clothes, if they will, but they're my gifts. God gave them to me. Now, if you want them, you can have them too. I believe his gifts are big enough for everybody here today. But you got to receive it. You know, the Bible says if you lack wisdom, ask of God. And what did he say? Well, he'll give it to you. I'm braiding without measure, okay? Psalms 45 and 6. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. A scepter of righteousness. You see, from his birth, Christ was recognized as a king. He was recognized as a king. He inspired, and he still does. He inspires allegiance. He inspires loyalty, and he inspires our worship, our adoration for who he is. He does. He inspires it. He inspires it. Are you inspired to worship him? To give your loyalty to him? He is King of kings and Lord of lords. I mean, I wish I could sing King of Kings, Lord of Lords. I mean, man, that song, I love it. It just drives chills in my body to have that song sung and to recognize the element of it, you see. Because when the wise men did come, they brought gifts. The shepherds, when they came, they bowed down and they worshiped him. didn't they? Herod realized there wasn't room in the world for two kings, so he sent out a decree for all the male babies, 2 years and under, to be killed. Jesus' claim upon the people of his day, and for you and me today, is total and it's absolute. You're either for me or you're against me. Isn't that what he said? Yeah, he did. Yes, he did. And I think of all these men and women. These are not dummies. They may have been unlearned and may have been ignorant, but they were mature men and women who left everything to follow him. Many of them to die because they believed what their eyes had beheld, that Jesus Christ indeed was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus is more than a poet. Jesus is more than a statesman. Jesus is more than a physician. We are here because we have come to know the living hope that Jesus has offered to us and understand, I believe we can understand, that he indeed is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. And maybe just for a moment, we can bow down around his manger and even today confess, my Lord, as Thomas did, my Lord, my God. My Lord, my God. Matthew 2:10, Bible says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. These, we don't know. We only number them because of three gifts. We have no idea, but we know three gifts came. So we talk about three wise men. What did they see? They saw the star of Jacob. And that star led them to the hearts and hope of these wise men because they've been looking for it, anticipating it. As the world before Jesus was born, they looked and were anticipating this Messiah, this deliverer. They were constantly hoping for him. That's why the women in the first time frame were naming their sons. They named their sons Messiah, deliverer, and every aspect of it. Seth, whatever. Why? Because they wanted their son to be this promised baby that God said to the serpent was going to be born. They all anticipated and were looking forward to maybe it would be their boy that would be that Messiah. Did you know that? And so they named their children names that represented the deliverer, the individual that they believed would come and deliver Israel, the Messiah, etc. Okay? So they journeyed. According to what we can tell from where they came, they journeyed over 200 miles. They crossed desert and they came seeking, if you will, this baby that they recognized the star was directing them to. It took them months to make that trip. Okay? And they had gone, and they had to have gone to a great expense to make that trip. They came bringing gold, gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, and laid them there, if you will. And many of this aspect, I know there are a lot of people today, they think about this Christmas season as nothing but a big dollar bill, the debt. Going to have to pay, they're probably charging their credit cards, they're going to pay in the next few months, whatever and whatever and whatever and whatever. But I hope you aren't doing that. What I hope is that you will focus on Jesus and you will see him as he is and read, if you will, Luke chapter 2. Just read Luke chapter 2. And just read it all the way through and let the Holy Spirit again let the birth story come alive because it is a living hope that you will read there. Don't let things overwhelm you in this time of the year. Don't lose the beauty of the season of the year. Just keep your focus where it belongs. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. These individuals knew that the King had been born. And they come seeking him. 1 John 3:1, Bible says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. Now think about it. Mary and Joseph had to have fallen deeply in love with that little baby. They fled to Egypt because they were directed to do so for 2 years. to protect Jesus from the slaughter that was going to take place because of Herod. Their love couldn't hardly ever, however, begin to measure up to the love that God had to have for that baby. Now think about it. Maybe you haven't. Maybe you don't even have never really taken a moment to think. How do you think God must have felt about that little baby? That was his son who emptied himself. The Bible says in the book of Luke, if you will, or in John, 3:35, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. How much do you think God really truly loved that baby compared to any of us? Can you imagine what it must have meant to him to know what his son was going to have to go through, what that little baby was going to grow up to, that he was going to come, as you will, born in a manger of love, to go to a cross of love, and God knew that? You don't think that bothered? You don't think that meant anything to the Father? You just think that he just up there and allowing this all to happen because of your sins? Well, how great a love did God have to have for you and me, that he loved you enough to allow his son to come down here to do that on your behalf? You know? Man, it amazes me how much you and I struggle within ourselves to come to grips with the fact that how much God must really love us. Well, measure how much he had to have loved his son, Jesus. I mean, I don't know if you can do that. Maybe you're cold and empty and don't have really any true aspect of emotions and feeling. But God's son left heaven. He was there with him in the very beginning, and in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld him in all of his glory, the only begotten Son of God. That's who it was. And I'm telling you, I have no reason to believe that if God is love, how much he must have loved that baby. And loved his son who was willing to submit to his will and do what he did. He was despised. He was rejected of men. A man of sorrows. Acquainted with grief. That's Jesus. That's what he had to look forward to. Being rejected. Being spit on. Being scourged. Being crushed by his Father. Having all your sins and mine laid upon him from Adam to the end of the world. God laid upon him the iniquities of us all. And God knew that that was what he's going to have to do. And can you hear Jesus crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Can you imagine how hard it was for God to turn his back on him? Not because Jesus had sinned, but because he became sin on our behalf. He took your sins and mine in his body. God so loved the world, too. Not just God loved the world. God so loved the world. Can't you just for a moment, just empty yourself. Get yourself out like Jesus did. Because that's your major problem and mine. You and I have got to get ego. Get ourselves out. You were crucified with Christ. You don't live anymore. It is Christ who lives in you. And then maybe, just maybe, if we could do that, God could fill us with the love that he had for that baby, that love that was demonstrated on a cross, and you could again say, with all your heart and mind, you know that God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. And it's not based on whether you're worthy of it or not. Or whether how intellectual you are, you see, because Jesus' birth was announced to do different forms. A shepherd's unlearned people out in the fields. Shepherds, that's who the announcement was made to. The uneducated, you name it, who they were, unloving, every aspect of it, unsophisticated. That's who the angels announced the birth to. Well, maybe that's you. Or the wise men who they came to that, the intellects of the day. You know, another race, another country, another people, wealthy in every aspect of it, respected. But they, by the star, was brought to Bethlehem. You get it? from the shepherds to the unlowly, to the rich, God sent the message of a baby that was born in Bethlehem, the Savior of the world. You get it? You get it? Isaiah 7:14, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. You see, Christ's birth is God's promise that you and I will never, ever be alone. It bothers me when people say, well, I just feel all alone. I am never alone. Never alone. No, never alone. No, never. I'm never alone. I never feel alone. Why? It was read by Brother Lloyd this morning out of Hebrews chapter 13. God says, I will never leave you, nor ever forsake you. Therefore, we can confidently say with hope that God is my helper. That's what it says. That God is my helper. And aspects of that, okay? So God's here right now. He's here right now. God is in this place right now where two or three are gathered in my name. There I am. So God is here. What is he here for? Well, first thing he did is he announced his birth with a song. The angels sang. So what do? We sang. How'd you like Mary's renditions? Huh? You listen to that music? Didn't that kind of just thrill you a little? And I mean, isn't it amazing how God has given man the ability to sing and to create music and to put words into aspects of thoughts and the concept? God has done that. Satan can do the same. Satan uses music to accomplish his purpose just as much as God can use it to thrill the hearts of all of us in every aspect. He gave me a song. He gave you a song. Well, sing it. Get up in the morning and start singing a song. Okay? Sing. Sing. I said sing. They sent me to the sing so I could learn to sing. Did you know that? That's how I got the bars. Okay, I just want to make sure you're awake. He gave this to increase our faith and hope. You can't have hope without, first of all, putting your whole trust in God. Faith in God is hope in God. They go together. They're inseparable. They came to heal and to bless and to share and the aspects of broken hearts and broken homes and broken lives. Jesus is the great power of God to put things back together. The Bible says the love of Christ constrains. It's a powerful word, holds everything together. Jesus loves me, this I know, that's what holds you together. You understand that? That's what holds our lives together, is that we know that Jesus loves me. You see, Christmas is not a date on a calendar. It's not an annual holiday. It is not a day to glorify materialism. Christmas is an event that started in heaven before the creation of this world, that God had already predetermined and already set in path that God would send his son into this world. Genesis 3:15, in his announcement to the serpent, he said that through the seed of a woman, a son, a baby, boy, is going to be born, and he's going to crush your head, Satan. He's going to crush it. He's going to crush it. Christmas is an event that gave the stars of the night a whole new brilliance. It brightened up life. That light needs to permeate your heart and permeate your life. It really does. Christmas is about a specific time, a specific place, a specific purpose, a specific person who was born. This person is the light of the world. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born under the law, born under the law, but born of the woman. And thank God Jesus was born. Gives you a new song. Gives you a hope. Because it's in him that you place your hope. He's your hope. He is your hope. He's our everything. And can we this morning say with a heart, unto us has been born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Let's stand together. We'll sing our closing hymn together. And God bless you as you share this hope that God has given you and me together. O little town of Bethlehem.